grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verses 21 and 22. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And that's the beginning of our meditation, because it is God's will that His Word, His Gospel, His salvation should be preached to the whole world, and that even those who want to deny Him, who fight against God, He will use for the preaching of His Word. Whether they wish or not, they will be drawn into the preaching of the Word of God. We have an absolutely amazing God. So, later on, verse 24, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." And so some men bring a friend of theirs. They go through all of that trouble to dismantle the roof, to get their paralyzed friend up on the roof because of the crowds. They get the ropes to tie to the four corners, and then they lower him down in front of Jesus, and Jesus does not heal him at first. At first, He does not heal him, which is, by the way, what was going on, why there were the crowds. Jesus was healing others. And instead, Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." I don't know about you, I can see the friends of that man saying or thinking, "Is that all?" Meanwhile, off on the side, the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they're huddling together. "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" I learned a phrase this last year. It's called rabbit ears. And what it means is somebody who has a predictable response to something, and so you can catch them by saying something that they will automatically respond to, and now they're off balance and making mistakes. That's rabbit ears. They can't help themselves but respond in a certain way. Okay? That's the scribes and the Pharisees. They are going to respond to this no matter whether they want to or not. It's automatic and they have to. And when Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven," they cannot stop themselves. "Who is this that does this? Only God can forgive sins. Why, He's doing something that only God can do." You know, that might be the whole point. That might be why Jesus does it this way, so that they will respond that way. Only God can forgive sins. And here, the teacher of teachers is going to start teaching the teachers. But let's dig deeper. Now, Valentine's Day is a good day to talk about forgiveness. You hear, you read, you see sometimes posted, "A good marriage requires two good forgivers." Mm-hmm. And as they say, there's one group of people that knows that very, very well, and those are called husbands. Right? Now, to illustrate this, I ask wives, what would you think if there was some interloper who called up in the middle of you explaining to your husband why a brand new vacuum is not a good Valentine's Day gift. And this interloper tells your husband that it's perfectly okay because they forgive him. And you would think, no, you're not the one he gave the vacuum to as a romantic gift. What are they doing? Okay? Now, that's what the scribes are saying. Who is this who forgives sins? If it's between you and me, I can forgive you, or you can forgive me, but another picture. Think about your pastor having lost his mind. Driving down the highway, seeing somebody pulled over by the policeman for speeding, and your pastor decides to get out of the car, and because it's Ash Wednesday, go up and say, "Officer, may I have that ticket?" and tear up the ticket and say to the man in the car, "You are forgiven. Go in peace." The whole point is, it's not between me and him and me. It's between the guy speeding and the guy who is charged to enforce the laws. What am I doing jumping in the middle? Again, that's what the scribes and the teachers of the law are saying. But they're saying something else. They're saying, there's only one who has the right to get in between on any of this. There is only one who has the right to forgive sins that are committed against someone else. And that somebody who has that right is God. And the reason why he has that right is because he is the creator of all. He owns all of us. All of us belong to him. And any sin against a fellow human being, God has first claim to respond to the offense. He has first claim because he is the owner. And he has the right. He actually has the right to come along and tell you that your sins are forgiven, those sins against your neighbor. And he has the right to tell you that your neighbor's sins are forgiven, that neighbor who sinned against you. And when Jesus has that paralyzed guy lowered down in front of him and says, "Your sins are forgiven," the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they catch what is being done. I say, good catch. They realized what Jesus was claiming. He was claiming that he is the one who has the right to forgive sins. And who is this that has the right to forgive sins? He is God. As the scribes point that out, they are actually stumbling into a truth that Jesus is the one who has the right to forgive sins. They're stumbling into it. They don't realize that they're there. And they are challenging this. Well, if he does have the right to forgive sins, how can he prove it? That's where the debate is at that point. That's where the questions are at that point. And Jesus has caught them and brought them in. And now they're challenging. Does he have the right to forgive sins? Well, let's just see. And he turns to the man and heals him. He is the one who brings forgiveness. And he says to them, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? He does the healing in order to prove that he is the one who has that right. Who is he? This one who is forgiving sins and then showing that he really can forgive sins by turning once again and healing the paralyzed man? He is the one who forgives, and that means he is God. What does that mean? He is the one who forgives, and now we have God who forgives walking among us. And he has come to bring forgiveness. He is the one who forgives, and if God comes to walk among us, you know what that means? We are loved, and the kingdom of God has come to us. He is the one who forgives, and he does so as the Son of Man. And that means something even more. Because as the Son of Man, he is our brother. As the Son of Man, he claims this authority as one of us. And then, later on, he will send out his disciples to go and forgive sins. He has decided that he will send us into the world so others may know of this forgiveness in Jesus, so that they may live. It's important for us to know that Jesus is the Son of God because he is God truly and completely. We do not ever have to wonder whether the love of Jesus is the true heart of God. We are loved. He is the real thing. It's important for us to know that Jesus is the Son of Man. He is your brother. And that means he knows all of our problems, all of our doubts and fears. He knows all of the things that afflict this mortal nature. He knew that deep down the greatest need of the paralyzed man was to know where he stood with God. And in Jesus, God has come into the flesh and is there in that house on that day in Capernaum, teaching and healing so that all of them there can see God, so that he could sit down and listen to them and they could walk with him and hear his teaching, or so they could carve through the roof and lower a friend down to him. We do not have a Savior who is unable to sympathize with our needs or our feelings. He was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. And that means we can come to him in our time of need and he will help us. But don't ever forget the cost. Because in the cost of your salvation, you find the true measure of the love of God. As the scribes question, they have stumbled into the truth of who Jesus is, Son of God, Son of Man, and Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is on his way up to Jerusalem where he would suffer, and on his way, he is inviting us and the paralyzed man and even the scribes and Pharisees to know him with a saving knowledge. He draws them into the sharing of the truth of who he is and offers to them eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.